Isn't God good? All the time? Yeah, amen. Well, I tell you, it was such an honor when your pastor called and asked that we would come and share with you this morning. And I wasn't expecting to see him here, but but anyway, so glad you are, though. And but anyway, it's still good to be back here. And it's been a few years now. It's been about 3 years, and we still do travel around, not as much as we used to. We kind of a semi-retired, but we were just down a few weeks ago in your home church over there in Randall, Washington, years ago that you used to be there. But anyway, we were there for 5 services, and now we're here, so praise the Lord. I tell you, when I got the call from your pastor to ask me to come and share, I began to ask the Lord, what do you want me to share? And I had some things that came to my mind, and then I kind of had settled on one area, and I just didn't know if I felt right about it. And so this past Monday, I just Loretta had gone to bed, and we live in Post Falls, not too far from you folks, and some of you know that. But we moved up from Oregon about 2.5 years ago. But anyway, we moved here to be close to our daughter who lived in Coeur d'Alene. And now she's moved to Thailand, so that's not quite as close. And you know, Sharon, you sang the song there at the end, "It Is Well With My Soul," and I started to cry because that's a song Loretta and I and our daughter began to sing one time on a vacation as we're going down the road, and just in 3-part harmony with each other. But I started to cry because I missed my daughter. She will always be Daddy's little girl. You daddies know what I'm talking about. But that's just the way it is. But anyway, she's in Thailand and we're here and we have no family here now. So God has us stuck here and he's not letting us go, so I guess we're going to stay here a while. Amen. But anyway, I was praying on Monday night after Loretta had gone to bed and just walking through the house and saying, "Lord, what do you want me to share on Sunday?" And instantly this message came to me. And it was just an instant thing. And then a song that we're going to sing later on also came to me. And I'm not going to sing. Sharon's going to sing, and you are too. Okay. But I just want to talk to you this morning about the love of God. The love of God. And I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. And it's going to be coming up on the screen, I believe. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Romans 8, if you know the passage, you kind of know where I'm going with some of this at least. But I just want to just go verse by verse and just see what the Lord may say to us this morning. And I just hope and trust that it'll speak to your heart. I believe God has given it to me for you. And I believe it's for somebody here, maybe for all of you. Amen. Beginning at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to know God is for you. Amen? He's on your side. That means he's not against you. Amen? I don't know how many times I've heard people say to me, "I guess the Lord's against me because all this stuff is going on in my life." Church, he's never against you if you're a child of God. He is always for you. Say the word always.
Always.
What does it mean?
Always.
All right, good. Good class, amen. Hallelujah, he's always for us, and he'll never be against you, amen? Hallelujah. So who can be against you? You know, I grew up with 4 other siblings. I was the youngest of 5. My next oldest brother, he was 4 years older than me, and when I was growing up, I was just a little runt of a guy. When I entered the high school, the 9th grade, I was 5 feet and 1/4 inch. I had to get that 1/4 inch in there. But I was 5 feet and 1/4 inch. But my brother that was just older than me, 4 years older than me, he was 6'5". Now there one day in school, there was this guy that was a 9th grader that came and started picking on me. And my big brother heard about it. I don't know how he heard about it, but he heard about this guy he was picking on. This guy's name was Terry. No offense to anybody named Terry here, but anyway. His name was Terry, and Terry was picking on me, and my brother heard about it, and he confronted Terry. Well, my brother wasn't really living for God at that time. Just want to preface this a little bit. But he confronted Terry, and Terry lipped off at him, and my brother just pasted him in the mouth. You know what? I never had any problem with Terry after that. You know why? Because I had a big brother, and he knew it. You got a big brother, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And the devil's not going to mess with you. Hallelujah. And if he does, he's got Jesus to answer to. Amen? Hallelujah. If God is for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, this is how he proved his love for us. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? I mean, Jesus proved his love, or God proved his love, and that he didn't even withhold his own son. Wow. You know, I got three kids. I'd have a struggle giving up any one of them to anybody. And yet Jesus, our God, gave up his son, Jesus, for all of us, in place of all of us. Hallelujah. And then it goes on at the end of the verse, how shall he not then give you all things? Say the word all. What's that mean?
All.
Yeah. Whatever you need from the Lord, it's yours. Amen. If he would not spare his own son, and he will give him up for you, don't you think he'll give him everything else you need? He loves you, church. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's going to bring a charge against you when God justifies you? Now some have, and you probably have heard this from others, but have described that word justified by splitting it up into syllables. Just if I'd never sinned. Just if I'd never sinned. When you come to Christ and receive the forgiveness that he has for you, it's just like you never had sinned. So who can bring a charge against you when God sees you as someone who has never sinned? Wow. Double wow. I don't see myself that way, but that's how he sees me. And if you are one who has come to Christ and received the forgiveness that he offers, that's exactly how he sees you. Justified. Justified, never sin. Praise the Lord. He goes on then, verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who's going to condemn you? Who's going to condemn you when Christ died for your sins? And then he didn't stay in that grave. He rose in that third day. Hallelujah. He rose again with the promise of eternal life. Because he lives, so do we. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And who's going to condemn you when Jesus has done that for you and removed your sin from you? There's no charge that can be brought against you. Amen? Yeah, and then he makes intercession. That basically means he pleads our case before the Father. We know the devil from the story of Job. He goes and accuses us. Even the Bible says he's an accuser of the brethren. And it's just to say the devil goes before the Father and he says, hey, that David Hull down there, he's really messed up this time. And the Father looks to the Son and says, hey, did David Hull receive the sacrifice you paid on the cross? To which the Son will say, yes, he did. To which the Father then would reply to the devil, case dismissed. Amen. No one can bring a charge against you when the Lord has said, case dismissed. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 8:1 talks about that. Who? Let me just read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation to any one of you who have given your life to Christ. Now, if you have not yet done that, we can take care of that today. Amen.
Why wait another day? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the appointed time. Amen. Yeah. Then it goes on in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And I looked over that list again this week as I was preparing this, and I looked at those things, and those are all things that can kill us. They're all things that can kill us. They don't have to necessarily, but they could. I mean, we could die from tribulation. We could die in distressful time. We could die through persecution, all famine. We could die from all of these things. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, you know, what is the Lord saying in this? And he kind of reiterates it there in the next verse. For your sake, he's saying here, for your sake, Lord, for your capital Y there, for the Lord's sake, we are killed all day long. We are like sheep for the slaughter. Well, that's a real upper, isn't it? Yeah, we're killed all day long. We're like sheep for the slaughter. That's who we are. Why? Well, Jesus kind of said another way in Matthew 16, 24 and 25. If anyone desires to come after me, how many here want to follow Jesus? If you didn't raise your hand, you need Jesus, okay? But anyway, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone wants to follow him, let him deny himself. Let me just ask you, how's that going for you, that denying self thing? Well, I tell you, I have to look at my own life, and I say, man, I'm messing up on that so many times. I mean, Burger King a few years ago had a slogan, they have it your way. Well, that's kind of the way I like life. I want it my way. I want it how I want it. I want it when I want it. I want it done, you know. And how many realize God doesn't always give it to us our way? And so what do you got to do? You got to deny yourself. And that's a tough one sometimes. But the Lord doesn't stop there. He goes another step further. He says, and take up his cross and follow me. What did that mean when Jesus was saying this? What did it mean in Bible days when a man took up his cross? It meant they were going to die on that cross. When Jesus took up his cross, it was his cross that he was going to die on. He wasn't able to carry it the whole way, and Simon came along and helped him get it the rest of the way to the Calvary's hill. But Jesus died on that cross that he was carrying. And when Jesus is saying to you and I, unless you die on the cross, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be to my disciples. He's telling us, unless you're willing to die to yourself, we're not talking about physical death, but unless you're willing to die for the cross and for the cause of Jesus Christ, you cannot even become a follower of his. Amen? And you know what? I just got one thing to say about this dying process that God's taken us through. He's committed to killing us. Hello. He's committed to killing us. God is. Because until you die to yourself, you really cannot live for him. And so God's committed to killing that selfish pride and that selfish desire that we have in our life. And he's committed to killing it, bringing it to that place of death to ourselves. Because unless we're willing to go there, we can't really follow him. You still with me? I told you one of the times I was here, I think it was the second time that we came. We had a series of services with you folks, and I told you of a day that I was falsely accused and arrested for a crime that I didn't commit. And had to go to court over that whole thing. This was when I was pastoring my last church. That can be a real encouragement for your church. But anyway, I'm not going to go into all the details. I've shared the details with you before, and it doesn't really apply to what I want to talk about here. But anyway, The trial, the day of the trial came, it was 3.5 year process that we went through with court hearings and attorney meetings and money going out and all the things that go on. How many realize you can get accused of all kinds of stuff and you got to defend yourself somehow? And that cost money. It didn't cost them anything to accuse you, but it cost you money to try to defend yourself. And anyway, the trial was at 9 o'clock. It was a jury trial. It was not a felony. It was a Class B misdemeanor, so it's not a major thing, but it was major to me, okay? Anyway, the day of the trial came, and I had to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning at the courthouse, and I got there, and this thing lasted all day long. I mean, they had all the stuff that they presented, and then the jury went out to deliberate, and they were gone like 3 hours trying to figure out. And they come back, and the judge asked them if they reached a verdict, and they said yes, and they handed it to the judge, and she read it, and we, the jury, find David Hoole guilty of this crime. I tell you, I was not a happy camper right then. Yeah. Well, it happened that the trial was on a Thursday, and we had our corporate prayer at our church every Thursday night, And I'd ask really if somebody else could lead it, but they didn't really feel like doing it either. So I didn't get out of the courthouse until 6 o'clock, and our prayer time was at 7. And so I just rushed home and just got freshened up a little bit and headed to the church. And there were about 50 people that showed up for prayer that night. A lot of them knew. A lot of them had been with us in the courtroom. And I told them, usually what I would do on a Thursday is I would take a couple hours and just spend time with the Lord and say, God, what direction do you have for us tonight at our prayer meeting? Well, that day I hadn't had time to do that. And so I told the folks, and I said, I really haven't had time to seek the Lord today for guidance for tonight. And I'd just like us to go find a place of prayer. Every one of us just go find a place in the room and pray. And so we did. And I said, we'll come back in 20 or 30 minutes and see what the Lord said to us. And so I went off in the kind of like this platform, and it's a little smaller than this one, but we had a room like this one off to the side, and I went off and just kind of knelt by the steps that were by that room, and immediately the Lord spoke to me. He said, David, this is your greatest day. I'm thinking, God, I just got convicted of a crime that I didn't commit, and you're telling me this was my greatest day? I mean, if this is the best you got, Lord, there's got to be something else for me. Come on. And I did not understand that. I didn't have a clue what the Lord was saying to me, and I didn't for some time, even years later, to a point at least. But he said, this is your greatest day, and it's also your church's greatest day. I was pastoring at the church at that time, as I mentioned, and so this is your church's greatest day, and I'm thinking, I have no clue what he's saying. But after I had stewed in this for about 20 minutes, I got up in front of the group again, and I said, this is what the Lord said to me. And I told them what the Lord said to me. And there are others that began to share, and what the Lord spoke to them. But I didn't have a clue what the Lord was saying to me. I didn't understand it. How can this be the greatest day of my life when the only crime I've ever been convicted of was on that day? So I just kept searching the Lord and asking him, and how many ever have questions when God's dealing with you? Yeah. And it wasn't something that I came to realize immediately. In fact, it was years before I really began to realize, and I don't think I've fully comprehended it yet. But there was years that went by, but I've come to the place. And I was sharing this with a pastor here in North Idaho recently, about a year ago or so. And I told him the whole story. I didn't tell you the whole story this morning, but I told him the whole story. And then I said to him, and I says, now I've come to the place where I can say that day was the best day of my life. And he looked at me and he says, Dave, how can you say that? And this is what I told him. I said, because I've come to know just how close the Lord can be when you're going through difficult times. I've come to just realize how much he loves me. We don't like difficult times, and I hope I never go through that again. And I hope you don't either. But if you do, Let the Lord take you into his presence and just show you how close he can be. Amen. I think that time when I shared this story with you folks, I made a statement. I was talking about the wilderness, I believe, that night. And I made the statement. I said, the wilderness is a place where God takes us when he really wants to show us how much he loves us. You have to have gone through that to understand that. But it's true. He loves you. No matter what you go through, he loves you. Amen? Amen? And because I know that, I now can declare the next verse, 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. You know, Paul talked about the Olympians, basically, back in their day, they would compete for a wreath, you know, on the twigs and things, and leaves that would wither and die away. Well, at least today, the Olympians get a medal of gold or silver or bronze that will last. But anyway, they compete for stuff, and they get the prize. I want you to know there's a prize awaiting you. Hello? You are more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror, and the prize awaits you. Someday in the future, we're going to be with God in heaven, amen, forever. Hallelujah. But even here on earth, there's a blessing of God that God wants to give to you. Even now. I'm so grateful I don't have to wait for everything. I can get some of it here. Amen. Hallelujah. So I win, so do you. And when we get to the other side, we're going to see all the blessings God has for us. The prize. Then verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded. How many are persuaded? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Once again, we see a list of things that will never be able to separate us from God's love. I want to go through them just a little bit here. Whether you live or die, in death or life, whether you live or die, doesn't matter, you're still going to know the love of God. And you're still going to be the recipient of God's love. Amen. If you know Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether you're being influenced by godly beings or demonic forces, you know, angels from heaven or principalities and powers. No matter what you're being influenced by today, I want you to know God still will love you. In spite of what you're being influenced and allowing yourself to be influenced by. Your past, your present, your future, doesn't matter, God. He will still love you. How many here have ever done some things that you'd like an undo and a redo? How many have done some things in the past that you'd like to undo? Yeah. I love the computers today. You can get something on the computer there on the screen and you just put it on there and you, oh, I don't want that. And you just push the undo button and it all comes off like it never happened. I would love to be able to undo some things I've done in the past. How many would agree with that? Yeah. I would love to undo some things. The only problem is we don't have an undo button when it comes to life. So sometimes we reap the consequences of those things. But at the same time, Jesus undoes them and forgives them. Amen? Yeah. So it doesn't matter your past, what it's been, or even your present, what you might be doing now. Or even your future. Doesn't matter as far as the love of God is concerned. He will still love you. Amen. His love never changes. His love is unconditional. It doesn't matter. Amen? Hallelujah. And he goes on there. Nor height, nor depth. You know, sometimes you read things and words in the scripture, and it just isn't clear what he's trying to say there. And so I looked up the word height. And I found out that it's speaking of something that's raised high as a barrier to you from going forward in what God has for you. It's a barrier that keeps you from moving forward into the destiny that God has. Every one of you in this room have a destiny that God has ordained for you. And the devil loves to put barriers in your way to keep you from reaching the destiny God has for you. And the Lord is saying, even in those situations, if those come before you, I want you to know I still love you. And then I looked at the word depth. And I found out the word depth there means mysteries. Things we don't understand. How many of you have ever said something like this, like I did, and have? Why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand this, Lord. When I was going through that trial, and that three and a half year process, I asked that question lots of times. Why, Lord? Why is this happening? And I'm sure many of you, maybe all of you in this room, have asked that question. Why, Lord? But the Lord is saying, there's things you won't understand, but I want you to know I still love you. That I want you to know. That I want you to know. You may not understand what you're going through, but know this, God loves you. God loves you. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he just says, nor any other created thing. In case there's anything else that might try to separate you from the love of God, just know this, nothing will. Nothing will. I want to close with one more verse from the book of Jude. Jude is a book that deals with apostasy. It deals with a falling away, a turning away from Christ. And basically in verse 21, he begins to share with us how we can keep ourselves from falling away from the Lord. And this is how he says it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wow. Keep yourself there. That's something you can trust on. That's something that's a foundation for you. You can stand on the fact that he loves you. No matter what you've done or what anybody else has done to you, he still loves you. Amen? Hallelujah. Keep yourself in that love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, grace has been defined as the unmerited favor of God, which means getting things we don't deserve. Getting things we don't deserve. But mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We deserve hell because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we deserve the judgment of God upon us, but in his mercy he has said, no, I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to give you my grace. Come to my Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Part of that song that you sang at the end there dealt with a verse that reminded me of the verse. I don't have it on the screen, so you just have to take my word for this one. That I think it's 2 Chronicles 2:14, I believe is where it's found, where it talks about Jesus taking the handwriting, this is how it's worded, I think, in the King James, taking the handwriting of ordinances that was against you and nailed it to the cross. That means he took the sins that were against us and nailed them to the cross. Now, unless you understand the culture of that day, you won't understand what that really is saying to us. Because in the days when that was written, if a person was convicted of a crime that wasn't a capital offense, where he'd be killed for that crime, and he would be put into prison, whatever crime or crimes he had committed, they'd be put on a piece of paper, and he'd be put into the prison, and they would nail that list of crimes or crime to the door of his cell. And it would stay on the door of his cell until he had paid that price in full. By the sentence, whatever it was, when he had paid that price in full, they took that list of crimes that he had committed and they wrote across those in Aramaic or Hebrew or whatever word language they use. But they would write across that list of crimes, it is finished. And Colossians 2:14 is telling us he took the sins that was against us, nailing it to the cross, and with his own words he said, "It is finished." Amen. That's the mercy of God. Hallelujah. And that's the love of God. And Sharon, I want you to come. I don't know if the whole team's coming or just you, but whoever you want up there. We're going to sing an old song that's been around forever. Almost. Some of you younger ones may not know it. Some of you older ones probably will. Just simply titled "The Love of God." And I'm going to come back at the end of this and just share a few more things, but I just want you to listen. Look at the words as you sing them. Sing them with Sharon. And just listen to them. And watch them and read them. And let it penetrate your heart. Amen. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, please. Oh, the love of God, how rich and how pure. Nothing phony about his love. And it will forever endure. And no pen could be written, or no pen could write the whole of the love that he has for you. None of us can comprehend truly this kind of love. But he does love you. And I just wonder, maybe there's some here today, I don't know, Some of you I've known for some time, and others I've met today for the first time. And so I don't ever take for granted that everybody knows the Lord or has confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you have not yet confessed Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, or maybe you did at one time, but you know that if you're honest with yourself, that you haven't been living for God. And it's time to make a recommitment to Him, to receive the love that He offers to you even now. No matter what your past or your present or your future may hold, He still loves you. And He just wants you to come to Him. And so if you're here today and you have not ever, perhaps, or maybe you have, but you're not, your life hasn't been really where it should be with God, and you just want to make a new commitment, a renewed commitment to Him. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Lift it up. Let me hear. Let me see it. Okay, thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay. Well, let me just tell you, there's a lot of people out there that you know that have not yet made that decision. And I want to encourage you by all means to share the love of Jesus. We're coming into the holiday season. The love of Jesus that caused God to send His Son to earth. So can be shared at this season of the year. And I encourage you to share Jesus with people. But I want to just go one step further here with you here. Maybe you're going through one of those times when you're saying, God, why? You're going through some peril. You're going through some discouragement. You're going through some difficult times that just life happens. It does. And sometimes life is not so good. All things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus. But sometimes life is not so good. And maybe that's you today, and you say, Brother David, I could sure use some prayer. I could sure use some prayer today. I want to really know the love of God even in these trials that I'm going through. And I need prayer that God would give me victory in this situation that I'm facing. It could be physical. It could be any number of things that you're facing right now. It could be financial. But whatever it is, if you want prayer this morning, I'd just like you to raise your hand. Just lift it up. You want prayer? Anybody here? Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anyone? Thank you. Just want prayer. Going through one of those times that it's difficult. And sometimes you question those difficulties. Do you really love me, Lord? I can tell you affirmatively He does, but it's hard to recognize that sometimes when you're going through it. Anyone else? I say, Brother Dave, I'd like prayer. Thank you, Lord. I'd like us to stand, everyone. And I would like those that raise their hand, if you would come. Just come up here and line across the front. We want to pray for you. Just come on up. As we sing this song, go ahead, Sharon, lead it again, would you? At least the chorus.
The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless.
If you raise your hand, come on up.
Oh, yes, Lord, I shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
If you raise your hand for either one of those, come on up. The love of God, how rich, how pure,
how measureless.
Step forward just a little bit. Now, if you'd like to come and pray with these, we'd invite you to come. Loretta and I are going to pray with them. If you need to leave, you're free to go, I guess, Pastor, unless you had something you wanted to share. You have anything you want to share, Pastor? Okay. So if you need to leave, you're free to go. But if you can come and pray with us, pray with these folks, we're going to pray and just ask God to take care of whatever it is that's going on here. Amen? Hallelujah.